All right, we're officially going. We're on.
Yeah.
So if there's anything you want to say, better say it now.
Don't look at me like that, butt face.
The clock is, what did you call me?
A butt face. Hi, bud.
Justin said my wrestling D&D comparison was, what'd you say, wise?
Yeah. I like wise that. Beyond the ages. Shut up. I'm embarrassed.
Oh my God, it was the funniest article I've ever read in my entire life.
I watched a couple of compilation videos on YouTube. I've got it all figured out.
You're listening to the No Big Banana Podcast.
Welcome back to the No Big Banana Podcast. My name is Charles.
My name is Justin.
I'm Jay.
And Jay is with us.
Yay.
You all probably know Jay.
I'm Lance.
Men shorts.
You have no idea how difficult this all of this has been. Like, the only one that's normal is Sarah. And that's not even her name. And I'm like, how am I supposed to, like, keep track of all of these people? Like, the one that bugs the hell out of me is Whit. Like, I have no idea if that's actually his name.
Not at all.
No, not even kind of close.
We call him Rigsby, which is his last name.
That's but your boy.
Like, that's the thing. Nice. I'm like, what the hell Rigzo. Is this?
Dude, that picture.
I'm trying to write Anime Edition, and I'm like, Wayland.
Did you see the, dang it. What? I just forgot what I was going to say.
You're welcome.
It's, you know, here's the other thing. Is not only is he really good at, like, totally derailing everything, mm-hmm. but, like, you'll think of a thought.
He'll pull and the then, thoughts out.
Yo, it'll go away.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, all right, he's going to stop talking in like 4 seconds, and then here's what I'm going to say. And then in that 4 seconds, poof, he makes gone. Me lose what it was.
Yep.
That's what just happened.
That's what I do.
Well, if we're going for continuity, the wrestling thing that he said was wise beyond the ages was that I always make my Dungeons & Dragons characters look like wrestlers because all professional wrestlers inherently look like Dungeons & Dragons characters.
I never put two and two together like that.
Oh, yeah.
There's even races. Because, like, this dude named Pac is an amazing wrestler. He used to be named Neville when he was in the WWE. He looks like a fucking orc. And that's the only way I can think of it. I want to make an orc that looks like him. It's not even an insult. He's not a bad looking dude. He's just scary
jacked,
looking.
Jacked to beyond belief. Yeah.
My first character, Bork, who looked like Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar looks like what an ideal human in a Dungeons & Dragons universe would look like.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what you would expect. I mean, even on the lowest possible base level.
By the way,
level.
We're talking about D&D this week.
Yeah, it's a Dungeons & Dragons
Oh, yeah.
Week.
D&D week.
There might be
I'm
some
sure
anime in there.
There but. Won't be any. I'm sure. Yeah, probably. But I'm sure there won't be any people that are opposed to us talking about D&D. That's for
no,
sure.
Hell no. If you like D&D, hit that like button.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
hate D&D.
And yeah, if you really like don't button. Like it, then yeah, that's fine
hit
too.
Hit that like button.
All of the likes are the and the buttons.
I'm trying out a different thing where like I ask people to like it earlier into the episode. Because we don't get a lot of likes.
I like it.
You're so thirsty.
I am.
It's never enough.
I crave
just
attention.
So you know, it's never enough.
You sure. are right, though. We have a broad nerd appeal. Like, the wrestling and the video games and stuff is all in there. But I think everyone who subscribes to the channel always will listen to D&D because those are the most viewed things on the channel and how we got started. What's
what
up?
About, so we're doing a one-shot that you're DMing on the 22nd.
We are doing a one-shot.
And I'm not lying when I say I know nothing about it. I should amend that. I know as much as the opening few paragraphs that I read on my podcast last week
yeah.
or the week before when I was trying to fill time.
Yeah, I think
because
it was 2 weeks.
You weren't yeah. there.
Yeah. This is how bad it is. He has nothing without me. So without me, like he's
he just picks
stay
up
here.
Whatever book is closest to
I don't know. I'll just fucking read
is.
Comments.
Well, it
I
was
guess.
Relevant. I enjoyed it too.
Yeah. So just like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging around, I guess.
It's good for the YouTube algorithm.
You can message me on Twitter. I'm at manray, 2 N's. Ray is spelled R-H-A-E.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
I have to make it super hard to find by having both words not spelled how they sound.
Yeah. That's a good way to do it.
I think mine is irritated fart.
It's a good Twitter handle. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me about Wicked Pax.
Wicked Pax is made by a guy who lives in Jacksonville named Mickey Barfield. He met us at...
Oh, I didn't realize he lived in Jacksonville.
Yeah. He met us at RapierCon. We got invited last year to sell t-shirts and talk to people about being on man shorts, and we got a big round of applause when they pointed at us. It was pretty neat. But Mickey came over to our table and gave us a copy of a book that he wrote called Wicked Pax, which is the game that we're going to run on the 22nd. I just got in contact with him a couple weeks, or about a week ago, and told him we were doing this. And then he sent us every other book that they've gotten in PDF form. Essentially, what the game is it's a role-playing game set modern modern day, and it has a very Buffy the Vampire, Dresden Files, X-Files feel about it. The races are things like angel blood, demon blood, half-bloods that are called mutts.
And yeah, pure bloods. And I'm still debating between pure blood or half-blood, because half-blood seems to be the route that most people would want to go.
Like the tiefling, it's like, oh, that's a very rare population of tieflings. And then
more
you go
like
into a bar
humans, where they have a lot of bonuses spread out. Like the half-bloods are good at everything except for direct magic.
Gotcha.
And the pure blood, or that nobody's a pure blood except for some of the bosses, essentially.
Yeah.
But the angel blood and demon blood each have one angel or one demon parent. Mm. And then the half-bloods are more mixed than that. It's like people who are like, I'm
good
a
16th
Navajo.
Good for the human, I guess, to bang a devil.
Yeah, there's some weird flavor text throughout this entire book that has a lot of creepy stuff in it. The short novel that's in here is about a drug that's based on demon scales that are dried
How
out.
How did you and mommy meet, daddy? Well, I went to hell.
Yeah. So in this book, there are different realms, and heavens and hells are some of the realms that you can go to. There's fey realms and all kinds of stuff. For the one shot, I'm keeping it a bit more centralized. Okay. We're staying on Earth. We're actually going to do it in Jacksonville.
We're doing it live.
Yeah.
Is it going to, and that's present day?
Present day.
Oh boy.
We're going to ignore some of the social things that are going on in the world. I'm not going to.
Is the BBEG
corona? Don't do that.
Like, yeah,
we're
not
going to. You just go to the end and it's just a giant.
This is
going to
take place in 2018. This is going to take place in 2018, Jacksonville.
Oh, I like that.
That's cool. I like when.
Just so I can ignore all of the real crap that we're playing D&D to forget about that's going on in the world.
There's
right
still
now.
Other options for good BBEGs in 2018.
I know who they are. They live in Yulee. That's all I'm going to say because Chaz is sitting here, but those are some of the bad guys. But
you go to Riverside and you're just like bombarded with kombucha.
So anyway. We'll, yeah, right.
Like, who the fuck?
So I think for this episode, we'll just stick to talking about the game and how the rules work. And then next episode, I'll talk more about how cool the actual world is.
Yeah.
The way that stats work, I'm not going to go into detail because if you're interested in this, when you watch the stream on the 22nd, we're going to do a drawing for people that are in the YouTube chat because it's the one that I can monitor. And of the people who are watching it on YouTube, we're going to pick someone randomly in chat who's going to win a copy of Wicked Pacts and a deck of NPC cards.
Heck yeah.
And, that's cool.
And a set of Kraken dice.
And a set of Kraken dice. We're going to give somebody a bunch of cool stuff who comes and watches the stream. But if you're interested in this, the PDF rulebooks are $15 a piece, I think, and the physical copies are 30 or 40. I don't remember exactly.
That's a steal.
They're not bad. This isn't sponsored. Mickey's a really nice guy, and I like his rule books. So if you're interested in the full-on mechanics, go check out one of the books.
Yeah.
But instead of just buying points like you do in Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder, when you make your character and you have your list of skills, you spend a point pool to buy more dice in a skill. So if you want to be good at athletic stuff, you can put points into swimming, and instead of rolling a check for swimming that's 1d6, you'll be able to roll 3d10.
Oh, dang.
That'll turn you into Michael Phelps. So you can buy...
So fire.
That's a more really dice interesting concept.
And higher sided dice. So as you're better at things, say I need to pick a lock. I'm not good at picking locks. I haven't bought any skill points. The very base, I don't know how to do this, is a 1d4.
Okay.
And the way that I, as the GM, am going to assign tasks is I rank a target number that you have to get to. That is
a DC.
A DC, essentially. And what you're going to do is you're going to add the relevant skill. So strength, dexterity, whatever. Add that stat to the dice that you roll for the skill that you're using. So if it's going to be climbing, you're going to add your strength. So if you are good at climbing, you have 3d10 in climbing. You take the highest of the three dice that you roll, add your strength skill, and you have to hit my target number. If something is something a normal human could do, it's like a target number 6.
Okay.
If you're trying to lift a car off, a burning car off of a lady, it's like a target number 14 or 15. You couldn't even get it unless you had X amount of dice in that skill.
Gotcha.
So it forces you to use your skills based on what your character is going to do in the world. It's a really interesting way to lay out how your skills
really
work.
Cool.
And it lets you roll dice in interesting ways, which I think a lot of D&D players forget how much fun rolling dice actually is.
Are there a lot of skills?
There's so many skills. Where's my character
Oh my God,
sheet?
There's so many skills.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
You want me to get my speed reader voice on and rattle them off because it's a page and a half?
Do it.
Oh,
do it.
Dude, yeah, do it.
If it's not at least 80 WPM, I'm going to be upset.
Alchemy, Athletics, Augury, Blades, Botany, Brawling, Chemistry, Club, Computer Operation, Crafting, Cryptography, Demolitions, Disguise, Dodge, Drive, colon, you get to pick the vehicle.
Oh, boy. What?
Chaz is going to take drive in motorboat.
Probably.
Electronics escape.
I'm a motorboat this bitch.
Fast talk, 3D10 right here. First aid, forgery, history, heavy weapons, but that one is abbreviated. Improvised weapon, interrogation, intimidation, law, leadership, lockpicking, a bunch of magic lore spaces, mechanics, navigation, observation, occultism, which will be fun in this game. Oh, dude. Persuasion, physician, which is medicine, physics, pilot, pistols, poisons, police sciences, primitive ranged weapons. I'm going to have a crossbow on one of my NPCs just because that's a skill. Resist torture, ride horse, rifle, security, seduction, sleight of hand, stealth, streetwise, throwing, tracking, and veterinary.
Oh my God.
So this makes you happier than 5E with all of its limited skills, huh?
This is what the fuck we play for, folks. This is why.
I mean, that's a subjective take, but.
No, this is what it is. This is the gospel. I'm fucking Beetlejuice in here.
Beetlejuice?
Listen, there's a spooky, scary villain in ReZero named Beetlejuice.
Oh, different Beetlejuice.
He's weird.
Oh, he's very weird.
You didn't feel any bad about, spoiler, Rem just like getting like tied up and like a neck cracked and dropped on the floor like that?
Not particularly.
I don't know what you guys are talking about right now.
And you deserve nothing but the worst in life.
But one of the other cool features of Wicked Pacts, one of the other cool things, this has my favorite feature of role-playing games. This was in the old Firefly game we played like 8 years ago or 9 years ago too, where you can take complications to get yourself more talents and perks. So you can give yourself addictions to stuff, or you have like a short temper.
You can do that in Pathfinder. It's like character flaws and character traits.
So instead of like, it just being like, hey, this is my character flaw, it actually has some relevancy to the game.
And that's when we used to play
it's
Pathfinder.
It's not flavor text. It's like it gives you bonuses.
Straight up.
Yeah, that's when I fell in love with it, I think, is when we were playing Pathfinder. Complications around page
34. That, by the way, is one of the ways that Pathfinder perfected 3.5 was adding that feature.
Hmm. Speaking of flavor, like not something that's not actually affecting the game, my idea was for a mage, but he's like a gunslinger, but he just like loads the magic into the chambers. So it's not like I get like each chamber on a pistol would be like a skill slot.
Right.
So it doesn't actually affect the game in any way, shape, or form. It's just for flavor. Like he's just like pat, 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 like shooting people.
Oh, it'd be kind of like
magic missiles and shit.
A Honey Lemon from Big Hero 6, where she has the purse that can make different things happen, except it'd be a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be your spell slots. That'd be dope.
Yeah, pretty much like the gun is my spell slots. So it's
it doesn't actually shoot anybody.
Right. It doesn't actually do anything. It's just like for the flavor of it. Like I just load it up with like, okay, these are the skills that I have set for the day. These are the spells that I've got. Like,
all right, so Chaz, you're going to take the hedonist complication. Huh?
Oh, what's that?
The hedonist complication is that you just like to party. If it involves sex, drugs, or rock and roll, you're in. Once per session, the GM can present you with an obvious trap that is baited with your chosen vice. You make you must make a tough willpower saving throw.
This is
target
dope.
Number 12.
This is how I play.
In order to resist this temptation. This game is kind of made for Chaz because he can like take the shit that he does anyway and get bonuses
and
it for
it. Actually works. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, he could have been reading like a descriptor about a previous character I've played and I would have bought that.
You're talking about that one that was like addicted to like the
Verena?
Yeah, the cocaine.
God, yeah. Verena was the best and worst of everything.
Yeah.
It took like 5 minutes for me to understand that like Verena wasn't like a place. Like I was thinking of like of a marina and I was like, what the fuck's a Verena? And he's like, listen, dumb nuts, I'm trying to tell you.
That was the campaign with Karath, right?
Yeah.
Where I played as the big dumb guy who carved things into his hammer.
Yeah, Karath was super fun. Krom was fun. That whole party was fun.
Justin was fucking hilarious in that game, playing the big living suit of armor, essentially.
Yeah. That's the way that
playing
I play.
Alphonse Elric.
Kind of, except there was a demon or something.
What other discounts are there in there? Discounts.
Discounts.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of what it is.
Sale, sale, sale.
Enemy, which is one that's already in Pathfinder, you're going to have someone chasing you.
Dope.
Obsession. You have an obsession that interferes with your daily life. Work with the GM to determine what you're obsessed over.
This is cool.
I like enemy.
This is cool.
I like the idea of that.
Like, I was already on board, but, like, having these, like...
Haunted.
Fat.
Haunted. Yeah, fat just gives you, like, negatives to your movement. And,
that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
There's a skinny one, too, that gives you negatives to strength.
Oh, word.
And stuff like that. Most of these are pretty realistic. They're not a lot of goofy ones, but
they're
things...
They're not, like, trying to be SJW cucks. They're like, all right, we'll throw one.
They're basically just trying to make sure that you can use negatives that are realistic. Like, the haunted one is obviously part of the game where you have a ghost following you around, and the GM gets to determine determine what the fuck the ghost does to you.
Oh, jeez.
But that's night blindness. Dangerous. You just have shitty eyes at night.
That's about right. It feels like you're just explaining my life at this point.
You know social I mean? Pariah, the people you would normally associate with want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Unfortunate right, looks. Too. Even a mask doesn't help much.
Yeah, you're basically just explaining me. Oh,
no. Terminally ill, you are on your way out. Oh, they were all random.
I don't know. I haven't been to really a doctor in like a decade, so it's like
that was really funny for me because it was like he was just lobbing up softballs to fucking Mark McGuire. Just like, wow. Oh man.
So on the opposite end of that, there are talents. These are like your what's it called in 5e? My brain has been so focused on this. Your skills.
Oh yeah.
But it's instead of skills, it's like the opposite of the negatives you can take. Like one of them is alternate ID. You have a bunch of fake IDs with paperwork that backs it.
Oh, I like that.
That's dope.
Death curse. Pity the person who finally puts you in the ground when you were killed. As long as you can tell who killed you, work with the GM to determine the terrible fate that befalls your killer.
That's Charles. That's just Charles.
I am taking that.
Like he's just like a vindictive little.
Oh, that's the word. That's the vindictive. Word. Also, you're also that.
There's one called Lucky Bastard.
Whatever.
Last thing that I will randomly plug in. There are scene points that are basically Deus Ex Machina points.
Oh,
cool.
And when you create your character, you probably get three or four of them. They can work for mechanic-wise, giving you additions to rolls that you do or helping you subtract negatives. So if I have a high target number, it'll pull the target number down a little bit. Or during role play, you can just be like, I think this guy should kind of agree with me. I'm going to spend one of these.
Can I take night vision and as long as the
GM goes with you on that scene point, you can get away with it. So if somebody's really disagreeing with you, they might go down to being like, all right, if you're cool, I guess I'll agree with you. So Lucky Bastard is increasing your maximum scene points by one. It just gives you an extra bonus to being able to be like, no, this does go my way.
Can I take the night vision where it's like you have really good vision at night?
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
and the bad one at the same time, and just cancel those bitches out because that sounds like something I would do.
That would literally be what it does, but neither of those give you any bonuses other than letting you see really well and then not see as
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
So okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just so it's on your character sheet. Yeah.
Those are really cool.
No, I can. One eye sees really good at night. One eye.
What's this guy's name? What's this guy's name?
His name is John Mickey Barfield. He goes by Mickey, but when he publishes books, he writes it as John Barfield.
Mr. Barfield. John.
Mr. Barfield.
Mickey. I'm very sorry that I haven't read this sooner.
Mr. Mickey.
I've been a bit Charles busy.
Is sorry.
But I
read this sooner.
I feel that doesn't excuse it because this is. Fucking
doesn't
cool.
excuse it.
I haven't even gotten into the fact
that everybody should go check this out.
Yeah.
After you're done listening to this nonsense, go check out this cool game.
I also, I assume we're close to the end of the episode.
We're getting there.
You'll hear like music play.
Okay, nice.
And then I'm going to start talking about fucking a bell.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
Ignore all of that.
Okay, I will. One of the things that I have not even gotten into in this game is the fact that when you create your character, you have a tarot card of the major arcana that's associated with your character.
Yeah.
That will actually affect your character. At this point, that's the part that I'm least familiar with because that was a whole nother really complicated thing that I didn't want to get into when I was trying to like grasp the concepts.
Yeah.
But at the start of the game, you also all select tarot cards that you can use, or if they're drawn upside down, they go to the GM and the GM can use them for bonuses against you.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm going to run this game how I run games. I never play it GM versus players. I think that's a horrible way to run games personally.
That's really smart because it adds another element of the game in the sense of like you really are left up to the fate of the cards.
Yeah.
Hearts of the cards.
The way that it works.
Yeah, bro. Like, by the way, I'm not a huge fan of Amelia either. I could totally deal without her.
Oh,
if she just
Amelia
disappeared,
sucks.
I would be like, meh.
Yeah.
Is that more anime stuff?
Yeah.
While I'm looking for the cards, my favorite character
cute,
in My Hero Academia thus far seems to be Ida.
Yeah, dude, I love Ida so much.
That's never going to
change.
He's
such a good boy. He's
changes.
So responsible.
The only time
he's
he really
always
changes
there,
is during
like,
Stain, but...
It's the same thing. It's why me and Chaz both like Superman and Cyclops, because like the Boy Scout character
the good
in the
boy,
hero
dude.
World
like,
is
that's...
an awesome archetype.
I don't understand why that got so... You know, it's people like Wolverine come in and shit all over that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, why can't we just...
Can't we just get along?
Why
maybe?
Can't we just have... Why does it have to be
why
like...
Why can't we be friends?
When we write the comics, we can let them
be
cool for a while after they fight, but when you make a movie, you have to have Cyclops be a bitch in the first one, mind controlled in the second one, dead in the third one.
Yeah.
It's astounding that I'm pulling myself back to Wicked Pax, because the X-Men movies are something I can talk about for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
But the way that the tarot cards work is when you create your character and you get the card.
God, my mom would probably love
this. It will help your character's details. So if you draw the swords can describe conflict between people. It may also indicate rash decisions and harrowing trials. If you're playing as a swords character, you're going to be hot-headed. We'll go for Bakugo, if we're going to go back to those characters.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely speaking our language now. Yeah.
If you use cups, the cups card center around matters of emotion may also indicate good fortune or time of plenty. I would go with that being like the Gravity Girl. She's happy.
Yeah, she I was thinking of Chaka.
But so those are for character creation, and then the other section is you can use them. They're kind of like the scene points where you can use them to influence something, but it has to relate towards the major arcana of the card you have, so they're not quite as free as scene points in the game.
So actually, the one thing that I have a question about is you were discussing the addition of extra dice. Is it like a matter of kind of like rolling for stats? You pick the high, like you drop the
lowest? You do take the high number, yes. Okay. You drop the lowest numbers when you have more than one die. Gotcha. So
yeah, but that's really smart, because it's instead of just a flat bonus.
I didn't know if it was like you have a bunch of die and then you just pick the best one.
Yeah, I did not explain that. You take the highest number of the amount of dice that you roll. Gotcha. And when you spend the points to upgrade your dice, there's a couple different ways you can buy them.
Don't belittle yourself. You've done a great job explaining this. Okay. I was just, I don't.
But I did not explain the part you're asking about is a better way
just,
to put it.
I'm just dummy dumb, so I'm when just you, trying to like.
You also haven't read
actually,
the book.
I think you did explain that, and he was dummy dummy.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I was thinking about dick jokes.
But what I am about to say, I did not explain, is when you are spending the points, you can spend 2 points to buy a 1d8 or 2d6. You can spend 4 points to buy 1d10 or 3d6.
Oh, that's cool.
So you're determining how the numbers roll.
Right.
That comes up to your strategy on how you like to play the odds.
That's cool. Never tell me the odds.
Yeah.
That's what Han Solo would say, right?
I don't know.
I'm calling him Han.
I know.
Okay. Follow us at Nobig Banana on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You should know that you're so fucked up.
Send us an email at NobigBanana@gmail.com and follow Jay on Twitter.
Yeah. At Man Ray. Talk to me about wrestling. I'm bored.
Fuck Man Ray's Twitter.
Spell it. It's MANNRHAE.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, go check that
out. I'm irritated fart.
There's funny, yeah.
Thank I'm surprised God. I got that one.
Thank God.
I know, it's a good
My first
for
one was
hand.
Total fart, and then I was like, nah, I'm going to change it. So I changed it to irritated fart.
Yeah, total would have been ridiculous.
Total fart is like the after show for Total Divas.